when fossil fuel gets cheap.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's word of a much longer-term shift that'll guide the prices that we pay for energy in the long haul. The International Energy Agency says that most of the new sources of fossil fuel will come from North America in the coming years. This as controversial technologies like hydraulic fracturing or fracking take off. On Tuesdays, we get to catch up with Julie Niemann, analyst of Smith, Moore & Company in St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
Tell me, how does this global shift in energy markets play out for families in the U.S. trying to run households with budgets?
Well, this is probably the best thing that's happening simply because shoppers are trying to do what the Federal Reserve can't do, and that's to neutralize the damaging effect of congressional austerity on the economy. So they're basically spending, putting more into the economy, nice rise in retail sales that we saw. Where they're spending, though, is really pretty interesting. It's on autos and building materials, very key things. For autos, it's because you have good fuel efficiency now, so we're continuing our trend here of lower consumption of gasoline, lower energy consumption.
What does this mean, though, for so-called green power companies? If you're in the solar industry, the wind power, geothermal, this news that there's going to be a lot more fossil fuel production here in North America.
It's all about pricing. When you have new supplies coming in, lower demand, you're going to get dropping in pricing. And so that means that alternative energy now is going to be natural gas. Alternative energy is coming from the United States and cheaper prices. That knocks the foundation under why we need green energy. Long term, we need greener energy simply because of the problems with carbon dumping into the atmosphere. But all of it right now has to be subsidized, and it's subsidized through tax credits. And when you have a huge budget deficit, there's not going to be that incentive to vote through more tax subsidies. So you're going to see green energy really suffer because of lower gas prices.
Julie Niemann at Smith, Moore & Company in St. Louis, thank you so much.
You bet.
There is a voracious black market for stolen phones, many of which can be used on a new number overseas at the swap of a SIM card. Prosecutors in San Francisco and New York have called on telephone companies to do something about the epidemic of thefts. Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Think about what happens when your cell phone is stolen. You have to go out and buy a new one. Then you have to sign up for a new plan with your carrier. So with cell phone theft generating new sales for manufacturers and new contracts for carriers, why would they do anything to stop it? Kevin Mahaffey is with the mobile security firm Lookout. He says there is one incentive, keeping customers.
The manufacturers and the operators care very deeply about trying to improve people's experiences because they found that making people happier is profitable.
Mahaffey says the industry has created a new database to track stolen phones, but it doesn't work outside the U.S. George Gascon is district attorney of San Francisco. Here's the approach he's taken in meetings with cell phone makers and carriers, where he asked them to fight cell phone theft.
For the people in the industry to step up and do the right thing without necessarily being dragged into court or being legislatively forced to do this.
Gascon says it's up to the industry to decide which way to go. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace. Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
The housing market is starting to come back, and home builders are beginning to build again. Trouble is, during the Great Recession, the country lost more than 1 million construction jobs, and many of those workers have moved on. From station KJZZ in Phoenix, Jude Joffe Block explains.
Residential construction in the Phoenix area is projected to grow 25 to 50% this year over last year, and the sound of new homes going up is in the air. Home builders here have been waiting for a recovery for years, but these days, relief isn't the only emotion they feel.
It makes me very nervous.
Buddy Satterfield is the division president for Shea Homes in Arizona.
Well, we're very challenged from a labor perspective.
The construction workforce slashed in half in Arizona during the housing bust. Workers headed off to different industries and other states. And the state's tough immigration laws prompted many Latinos to leave. All that makes it tough for subcontractors like Sissy Robert Shank to fill their crews.
The workers that we had back in the housing boom aren't here anymore.
Robert Shank's company installs air conditioners in new homes. She currently employs about 450 workers.
And I would say we have a demand for 100 more.
Hourly construction wages in Phoenix rose by more than 4% last year. But is that enough to lure workers back into the home construction business? It may not be. And yet builders might not be able to afford to pay more.
The builders are squeezed, essentially, between not only rising wages, but also rising material prices.
David Crow is the chief economist for the National Association of Home Builders. He says lumber, plywood, and drywall are all going up in price. And even as construction gets more expensive, Crow says builders can't add all those costs into the final sale price.
Buyers are still expecting to see bargains. They've seen house prices falling in the last couple of years and aren't quite psychologically ready to see house prices increasing.
And if Phoenix builders were hoping to keep costs low by drawing cheap labor from nearby states, they have a lot of competition. States like California and Texas are desperately looking for construction workers, too. In Phoenix, I'm Jude Jaffe Block for Marketplace.
And speaking of North American energy sources, the mystery continues. In Chestnut Ridge Park, outside of Buffalo, New York, tucked under a lip of rock near a waterfall is an eternal flame, one of the most beautiful in the world, according to a geologist who studies eternal flames around the world. A little tongue of fire erupts from the rock at all hours. An article in the journal Marine and Petroleum Geology has just looked into the phenomenon and concludes that the source of the eternal flame is natural, but they don't know where it comes from. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.